before he faces the cross. And he knows it is the last time. And while his friends do not understand, they somehow know it too. It's not just the lastness that is difficult. There is a lostness in it also. The friends of Jesus are sensing how lost they will be when they are no longer in his presence. How lost they will feel in his absence. We gather today in Christ's name to break bread in this place, to remember those who have gone before us in this life. And soon we will read the names of those of our church members, our family, our friends who have gone before us in this life, and whose lives have come to an end in this last year. Most of us have a personal list that is much longer than this one and covers more years than this year. And the older one gets, the more we understand, not only in our mind, but also in our heart, that there are last suppers in life, that none of us lasts forever, and that our days are numbered. There can be a lostness about that for us as well, a wondering of what life is all about, and an uncertainty about where we come from and where we're going. Does any of this really matter anyway? You've heard the old joke, what do you call an atheist in his coffin? He's someone who's all dressed up with no place to go. But some of us at least wonder sometimes, is that really a joke? Or does maybe it apply to us as well? When we come to Last Suppers and to all things last, will the times and seasons of our lives be lost as well? And the heartbreak of the Last Supper is played out every day in this heartbreaking world we live in, a world of violence and catastrophe and sorrow that somehow coexist with the love and the beauty and the gladness that we also experience in this world. So it's good for us to remember that the lastness and the lostness of the night that Jesus broke bread with his friends is not the only story of that night. When Jesus spoke at this Last Supper about the lastness and lostness to come, there was an echo of another supper. Another supper in the future, because you might remember that Jesus also said, "Truly, truly I will not drink this wine again until I drink it with you in the kingdom of God." That's a different supper, a different feast, a feast described by the prophet Isaiah, a final feast that comes at the end of time. And everyone sitting at table with Jesus that night would have known about Isaiah's feast too. This final feast that you should know about as well. And so we read these words from the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter, as Isaiah looks beyond this world to a feast that happens at the end of time. Hear the word of God. "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wine, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And God will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on this day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Last Supper of Jesus is really a foretaste of this final feast described by Isaiah. The final feast toward which all of creation is heading. A feast in which all the last moments and the lost memories of our lives will be healed and restored and redeemed. And today, in a few moments, when we break the bread and share the cup, we will look back to the Last Supper, to the heartbreaking story of Jesus and his death on the cross. We will look back, perhaps, to our own Last Suppers with those whom we have loved. And we may also look within to whatever lostness we may feel in our own souls, our own hearts. But let us look forward too. Let us look forward with Jesus to that cup of wine that he promised to drink with all of us in the kingdom of God. Let us look forward to the final feast that comes at the end of time, when the tears, the very real tears that eventually mark all of our faces, when those tears are wiped away. The final feast that comes when death is gone forever. When we are all reunited in the presence of the Lord. This supper we share today is a tiny piece of bread that may only wipe away a tear or two from our eyes. This thimbleful of juice, it may only lift a corner of that shroud of death that seems to have the last word. But that bread and that wine do point us toward the final feast that is God's last word to us. And that last word is life. Not sorrow, not fear, not death, but life. God's last word to us is life, and Jesus himself is the bearer of that life, the giver of this life to us. And the bread and the wine are the signs of the promise, the sign of the forgiveness and the joy and the life that are God's last and most precious gifts to us. It's been 25 years since Sally Field won the Best Actress Oscar for the movie Places in the Heart. The story of Edna Spaulding, a young mother in Texas in the 1930s, who loses her sheriff husband in an accidental shooting by a young black boy. Times being what they were, the youth is soon dead himself, the victim of a lynching. And the movie tells the story of how Edna tries to keep her property and her family together when the unscrupulous banker wants to foreclose on Edna's home and land. She forms an unlikely family with a black sharecropper, Mose, who suggests that she can raise enough cotton to pay the mortgage. And Mr. Will, a blind boarder, she takes in. There's a subplot involving Edna's sister, whose husband is in a relationship with another woman. Somehow, this unlikely family manages to bring in the cotton and meet their financial obligations. But Mose has angered the Ku Klux Klan, and he must leave in order to save his life. And the story that began with heartbreak and seems in many ways to be a triumph of the spirit, the human spirit and the Holy Spirit, also is coming to an end with an awareness that the pain of the past remains. And then you come to the movie's final scene, which finds Edna in church, one of the places of the heart that we have come to know in the course of the film. The choir is singing in the garden. It's Communion Sunday, and the bread and the wine are being passed from one worshiper to another in the pews. We are slightly surprised to see the bread coming to Edna's unfaithful brother-in-law, and then to his forgiving wife. And the camera then pans to the banker. And we also see members of the clan sitting in the pews. And then we are shocked to see Mose, the black sharecropper. Shocked, first of all, because he's run away. And second of all, because we know that black people do not belong in this white church in the 1930s. Down the pew, the elements are passed, coming now to Mr. Will, the blind boarder, and then to Edna's two children, and then to Edna herself. And then, to our astonishment, Edna passes the bread to her late husband, who died in the film's opening sequence. How could this be? Then the bread and wine are given by Edna's husband to the black youth who shot him. And the scene fades as the choir continues to sing. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And we're left with darkness on the screen and wondering if maybe the simple act of sharing bread and wine in Christ's name just may be the sign of a truth far deeper than we know. In some unfathomable way, we break bread today with all the people whose names we are about to call, with all who have left this life days, months, years, decades ago. In some mysterious way, we share the cup of forgiveness today that tells us that the past can and will be forgiven, and that our future is not guilt, but gladness. This is not a last supper that we share today. It is a foretaste of Isaiah's final feast that is beyond time, a feast that has already begun in the presence of God, a feast that awaits one day your presence and mine. My friends, no supper is the last supper until, by God's amazing grace, we all gather at the table where death is banished and tears are no more and God's last words are spoken. Words of forgiveness and joy and life. For in the end, we all have a place in God's heart. Thanks be to God. Amen. And let us worship God now with our gifts and with song, the words of which are particularly appropriate for this day.
Pray with me. Lord, we are thankful for our place in your heart. We pray these gifts might be used to nurture all of us as we seek to be your people and to extend beyond these doors so that others may be blessed by your new life as well. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. People will come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at table in the kingdom of God. And our Savior invites all who trust in him to gather now at the Lord's table. Whether you're a member of this congregation or not, you are welcome at the table of our Lord. Our Savior welcomes children to the Lord's table. And today, there may be children among us who are coming to the Lord's table for the first time. Ben, has Ben here? Grace, Reese. Our Savior, who said, "Let the children come to me," invites and welcomes all children of all ages to his table. And as we prepare to honor our veterans later this week on Veterans Day, we welcome those who have served in the armed forces of our nation. And I would like to ask all who have served in the armed forces to please stand for a moment. And would those who've had family members serve in the armed forces also rise? We honor your service today. We honor the service of your loved ones. And we thank you and all those who serve our country to preserve and to protect the freedoms that we enjoy in this land. And we offer our heartfelt gratitude. You may be seated. All those who have gone before us in this life. And we now read the roll call of the communion of saints, the names of those who have gone to be with the Lord in the last year. And I invite you, as the name of your loved one or friend is called, to stand. And I also invite any of you who wish to stand in solidarity with someone else, perhaps you know in the church, with a name that you recognize, for any reason at all, if you wish to stand as that particular person is remembered, please do so. And we will stand briefly as the name is called and then be seated again.
Dick Austin.
Ronald Beckman.
Cora Behrens.
Pauline Braddock.
Dorothy Brown.
Reverend T. M. Carroll.
Chi Chen.
Lorraine Costanzo.
Harry Curitan.
Joey Dimmock.
Dolores D. Drake.
Beverly Duffy.
Linda Dunn.
Velma Irwin.
Steve Fowler.
Robert M. Fee.
Nanette Felton.
John Fitz.
Marianne Franklin.
Mike Guru.
Miles Girth.
Millie Gieske.
Claude Getz.
Teresa Gomez.
John Goulash.
Lorraine Haben.
Arthur Hagman.
Lisa Hanhart.
Kathleen Hansen.
Robert Hartman.
Walter Rudolph Hetz, Jr.
Steve Johnson.
Janice Cargill.
Maury Crumry.
Edward Coons.
Melody Lavaghetto.
Myron C. Long.
Francis Lo Sasso.
Jeffrey Love.
Robert Mamola.
Joe Moss.
Elizabeth Betty McMillan.
Ray Michaels.
Barney Miller.
Austin Myers.
Maynard Rafferty.
Arete Ropa.
Doris Rowlands.
Jean Schaefer.
Earl Schultz.
Carl Sinderman.
Henry Sine.
Andrew Smilek.
Annette Smith.
Dolores Kathleen Steffens.
Glenna Summers.
Roland Thomas.
Harriet Tyndall.
Trina Wallace.
Maxine Weinbrenner.
Paul Wells.
Fritz Wenslof.
Glenn Ray Westman Sr.
John Wilbur. Excuse me, John Wilbur's father, Duncan Wilbur.
Pauline Wiley Schauf.
Ken Zabriskie. Jane Arstad.
Bill Hill.
Donald Vento.
Betty Marvin.
Kim Hoffenkamp.
Albert Easton.
Dorothy Kramer. And all those whom we now name in our hearts.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Gracious and loving God, we do give you thanks with all our hearts for all your goodness, for the creative power in which you placed us in this world of wonder and glory, for the stars above that show us of your power, and for all the beauty that surrounds us day by day. We thank you especially for your Son, Jesus, for the way he showed us your love unmistakably. In the words he spoke, in the people he healed, in dying on the cross, and rising again triumphant for us. Keep us close to him in all we do, gathered here in this place. Send your Spirit among us that we may worship you and come to your table united in heart and mind and soul in our love for Him. And God, we give you thanks for the communion of saints that is your promise to us, for all those who have lived before and believed and served and died in your service. So join us in this sacrament with all your people as we gather a table to serve our Master Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.
On the night of that Last Supper, as Jesus cherished that time he had with his disciples and as he prepared them for what was to come, he ate a meal. He took the bread that was already there on the table and he blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this and remember me."
And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he gave thanks to God, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Every time you drink it, do it in remembrance of me."
We'll receive the sacrament today by coming forward down the side aisles, taking the bread and the cup, and then returning to your seat down the outside of the pews. If it's difficult for you to come forward, simply raise your hand, and Elder Pam DeLulo will bring the wine and the bread to you. All is prepared. Let us keep the feast.